I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. This is the Game 3 NBA Finals reaction podcast, one in which the Miami Heat stunned the Lakers with a 115-104 wire-to-wire win in Game 3. No Bam, no Goran Dragic. You know, they looked dead in the water. Games 1 and 2, the Lakers were up by double digits for 47 out of the 48 minutes in those two second halves there. They were clearly in cruise control, but Jimmy Butler. I mean, look, this should not be any surprise to the Raptors because literally next to LeBron, there was Jimmy Butler who used to dominate the Raptors. I mean, this was like back in the day. You know, we're talking about like 2017, 2018, but like there were some bad Bulls teams in that stretch and Jimmy just used to take over. I mean, there was one game, remember, where Jimmy Butler broke Michael Jordan's record for most points and a half for a Bulls player, where he scored 40 points in the second half to beat the Raptors. I think Raptors were up. Jimmy Butler started running pick and roll. No one could stop him. And this was reminiscent of that. Jimmy Butler was sensational. This guy had 40 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks in 45 minutes. The heart that this man showed was incredible. I mean, this man single-handedly matched what LeBron and AD were doing. And actually, I don't even want to put them in the same category because honestly, you know, as much as I said, look, AD and LeBron were dominating, and they were, those guys were not there tonight. But Jimmy Butler was absolutely there. And first off, to be the best player on the floor in a finals game involving AD and LeBron, that is not easy. It's really rare. I don't think it's really happened much in games this year. And Jimmy just kind of set that tone early on. He was aggressive. He was scoring. He was driving hard. He was kicking it out to other players. And he just kept it going. But what really was the difference here was in the fourth quarter, he just took it to another level. Like, literally, the Lakers had nothing. Nothing against Jimmy Butler. And you might say to yourself, well, the Lakers have all these big defenders. You know, worst comes to worst, LeBron can guard Jimmy. Wasn't happening. You know, what was actually interesting to me was that LeBron actually was taking on the Butler assignment, except it only was in theory because they were switching everything, and LeBron was so eager to get off of Jimmy Butler, like he was running away from that matchup or something. And, you know, and honestly, it wasn't like the switching made a lot of sense because, like, you know, who were you switching on to? KCP? KCP's too small for Jimmy Butler. You know, who are you switching on to? Markieff Morris? Like, I can't really move laterally, man. Jimmy Butler can get around him, get fouls, get the step-back jumper. And honestly, even when Jimmy Butler was guarded by LeBron, LeBron played pretty good defense. Jimmy still flipped up a little push shot, kind of, like, chuckled in LeBron's face. I mean, to have the passion and the audacity to do something like that for Jimmy, so, so impressive. Because, again, no Goran Dragic, no Bam Adebayo, and Jimmy Butler steps up and does this. I mean, look at that stat line, 40, 11, and 13 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. And yeah, you know, primarily it was just in the pick and roll. Now, what the Heat have done a good job of in the last two games, because low-key they've been successful offensively the last two games. They scored 114 in Game 2. They lost because they were too soft on the interior, and the Lakers just overran them, and they got 124 points. This game, 115 points for the Heat. And again, a lot of what the Heat have been able to do is put lots of shooting on the floor. And if you notice and you go back and watch some of the Jimmy Butler plays down the stretch and kind of throughout the game, the Lakers just weren't sending any help. There was no rim protection. So as long as Butler can beat his man or get a shot off, or, you know, or get to the rim and, you know, make a move, there was no help coming. And the reason for that is because they have played Kelly Olynyk extended minutes. And Kelly was really good tonight. I mean, he was outplaying Anthony Davis. And I'll get to that in a second. But Yeah, there was just good shooting all over the floor for the Heat, and it was really, really difficult for the Lakers to use their size. The Lakers' size advantage was kind of neutralized. Now, there's other reasons for that as well, but Jimmy was just able to attack one-on-one, and again, literally everybody they were putting in his way stopped him. Usually what I've seen with Butler over the years is that if you put size on him, he has more trouble with that. You know, sometimes you'll see him passing up shots. You know, occasionally when the Lakers were able to rotate at the rim and stuff like that, Jimmy, you know, would pass up a couple of layups and things like that. But for the most part, Jimmy does struggle with size. And the one time I really noticed this was, you know, last year in the Sixers series, the Raptors put Kawhi Leonard onto Jimmy Butler in Game 7. And Jimmy had a really quiet Game 7 outside of that one scramble layup he had at the end there. But yeah, Kawhi, you know, that size, that physicality really was able to keep Butler under wraps. Now, of course, Kawhi didn't actually guard Butler pretty much for the first six games, maybe occasional possessions, but in Game 7, there was an actual tactical switch. But Butler will struggle against size. I mean, whatever, it's not really a... I mean, everyone's struggling against Kawhi. That's not even noteworthy, really. But, you know, you even saw it occasionally in this game where, you know, when the Lakers did have bigger players on him, oddly enough, the guy who did the best job against Butler tonight was Kyle Kuzma, who has, you know, about 2 inches on Jimmy Butler, a little bit of length. You know, LeBron is as big as Kuzma. I mean, he's bigger than Kuzma, but, you know, he also did a decent job on Butler. But again, he was switching off that assignment. And again, you know, whatever, maybe the Lakers were just trying to switch, whatever, you know, that was a strategy. But at the same time, you don't just switch everything, right? And especially with a guy like Butler going off, and you are the leader of your team, you would think that a guy like LeBron would want to stick on Butler. But it was really telling to me that LeBron was just passing him off at any opportunity. Oh, Caruso's coming? Oh, yeah, let's switch that. Oh, KCP's coming? Let's switch that. And I'm thinking about again, I don't want to be like a hot take artist, but I'm just saying, when you think about the great players out there, you know, like Kawhi's not doing that. Kawhi's not like, oh, yeah, Danny Green, come over and switch. Get me off of Jimmy Butler. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the great players take that responsibility. Like, what do you hear about MJ? What do you hear about, you know, even Kobe, even when he got towards the later stages of his career, like, you know, stepping up, taking that defensive assignment on. Obviously, when you get older and LeBron is in year 17, you get it, right? You know, he can get a little tired, whatever. He was carrying this team, right? I'm not saying he played a bad game necessarily, but, you know, that's your responsibility. And again, it's not even necessarily about the legacy. It's so much as about trying to win the game. If you are the best defensive assignment against Jimmy Butler, why are you conceding all these switches? It wasn't like Jimmy Butler was shooting all these threes. Go under the screen. Find a way to not get screened. Anticipate the play. Like, something. And it was real shocking to see how willing LeBron was. It was almost like he was running from that matchup. And what was actually interesting was, at the end of the game, you know, Jimmy was holding the ball and there was like about a second left in the shot clock. And LeBron and the rest of the Lakers just walked off the floor. They just went straight to the locker room. And it was like, it was clearly still time left in the game. Jimmy held the ball until the end. I mean, I honestly would have loved for Jimmy to just run right to the rim and gone for a dunk, considering the fact that all the Lakers just walked off the floor. I don't know what that's about. You know, seems a little bit like sore feelings or anything like that. You know, but I don't know, man. You know, in a game, again, in a finals game involving LeBron and AD, Jimmy Butler thoroughly outplayed those guys. And Jimmy's just a guy you have to respect so much for his heart and his passion and his competitiveness. Because you know what I saw on the other end? Jimmy Butler guarding LeBron. Play after play. And I'm not saying Jimmy Butler's better than LeBron. That's ridiculous. But, you know, a great player, a great competitor. Jimmy Butler taking on an assignment. You don't think LeBron called for screens? Jimmy Butler wasn't getting screened. Jimmy Butler was staying on LeBron. And what did he do in the fourth quarter defensively? Forcing LeBron into two travels. Back to back. First off, they're finally calling travels on LeBron. All right, this man's been crab walking since like the Gilbert Arenas days. But finally, all right, they're finally calling travels. Year 17 indeed. But no, seriously, Jimmy Butler was actually doing a good job guarding LeBron. To the point where LeBron, you know, for the second half of the fourth quarter, in the first half, the start of the fourth quarter, the Lakers were down. LeBron was involved in a couple of plays. You know, he got to the rim for an and one, got to the rim for a layup, kicked it out to Markieff Morris for back-to-back corner threes. LeBron was really leading the comeback charge. But then Jimmy Butler checks in, comes on LeBron, and LeBron really wasn't that impactful. You know, there was like one out-of-bounds play where he got to the rim for a dunk. It was kind of a breakdown. Good play run by the Lakers. But, you know, you really can't say that over the course of the game. And you look at it, man, Jimmy Butler, this man was exhausted. There was a play where he got fouled, I think, by KCP. He beat him with a spin move. KCP had to foul him. And Butler's just lying down, and you could just see this man, like, drenched in sweat. This guy was pouring sweat. But, I mean, like, you have to, man. 45 minutes, you got to score, you got to rebound, you got to assist, you got to play defense against LeBron the whole time. It's so much respect for Jimmy Butler, man. This, I mean, you know, this you could see why Jimmy and Kyle Lowry get along. Because those guys are both just, like, mother effer kind of competitors, man. Like, they will fight for everything. And they're just... you know, great players, man. And seriously, I got so much respect for Jimmy. I've always had respect for Jimmy ever since, you know, he led all those random Bulls teams with, like, freaking Nikola Mirotic and, like, Doug McDermott and Etuan Moore and Omer Asik. Like, this guy was on some trash teams, and they would always beat the Raptors, and it was always Jimmy Butler, man. And Jimmy stepped up tonight. He was fantastic. But on the other end, the main reason why the Lakers lost this game was because Anthony Davis was invisible. And I'm not letting LeBron off the hook, man. LeBron, you know, he had 8 turnovers. You know, like I mentioned, he was running away from that Butler matchup. You know, wasn't really impacting the game as much as you would expect LeBron to in a close game. It looked like LeBron is running out of gas. But Anthony Davis was just completely missing. This is the thing. The Lakers are a team where you need LeBron and AD to give you 30 every game to win. Like, literally, they need to give you 60 combined points every game to win. And what we saw tonight from Anthony Davis was not even close to enough. This man was invisible. You know, you talk about LeBron not scoring down the stretch. Anthony Davis not even getting a look, not even demanding the ball. This man was getting guarded by, like, Kelly Olynyk, and by the end, his confidence was so shot, this man would just swing the ball right back. No, I don't want to go against Kelly Olynyk. Might be the first ever NBA player to say, no, I'm not going to go against Kelly Olynyk. Definitely the first NBA star to say, no, I'm not going to go against Kelly Olynyk, man. Anthony Davis, man, look, listen, they started this game, the Lakers, they tried to really insisted on getting the post-ups going. That put the Lakers in an early hold. The Miami Heat were able to force them into turnovers. The Lakers had 9 turnovers in the first 7 minutes. The Heat were playing harder, they were more physical, and the Lakers were just trying to go to the post over and over again. They weren't even running offense. They were just trying to spend 14 seconds on the shot clock trying to get Anthony Davis a post-up. Jay Crowder did a really good job against Anthony Davis. But there's no reason why Jay Crowder should be able to shut down Anthony Davis, right? Jay Crowder is giving up like 6 inches in height in that matchup and, like, obviously a lot of weight and wingspan. But AD was, you know, getting the post fronted. The Lakers were forcing the ball in. And then AD committed 2 fouls. He went to the bench. He committed a 3rd foul. I don't know why the Lakers didn't challenge the call, considering it was clearly a blocking foul on Olynyk that got called as a charge. You know, again, a coach like Nick Nurse sees a star player early in the game picking up his 3rd foul. I might have to bench him for the rest of the quarter. Let's use that challenge now. That's more of a, you know, to get, like, you wouldn't use your challenge and potentially maybe waste a timeout to get your star player another 7 minutes of the game. Like, please, that's very valuable. But for some reason, Frank Vogel does not challenge. Again, it would have been a successful challenge. Olynyk was clearly moving. AD picks up his 3rd foul. He sits on the bench. He had 5 points and 5 turnovers at, like, the halfway mark of this game. This game, he finished, and, you know, he had a little stretch there. He won 1 putback. He hit a couple of jumpers, and you're like, oh, maybe AD's coming. No, man. This guy only took 9 shots. To put 9 shots into perspective, man, Markieff Morris and Kyle Kuzma both took 13. Rajon Rondo took 8 shots, and Anthony Davis only took 9 shots. You would have to say, out of all the guys on the team, at least LeBron's getting guarded by Jimmy Butler. But Anthony Davis, like, he has a perpetual mismatch. Not a single player, especially with Bam out, not a single player in the Miami Heat should be able to guard Anthony Davis. And where the hell was Anthony Davis? This man slinked and retreated and was not there. No aggression, nothing. They couldn't get him the ball. And again, by the 4th quarter, he was just running back and forth. Literally, just running back and forth. Not even getting rebounds. 5 rebounds? Really? Anthony Davis, 5 rebounds? Like, unbelievable effort from him, man. He was just not there. Not there. And minus 26. It's kind of unbelievable. But, you know, one of the things with Anthony is that, like, look, this is something for a young guy. He's going to float in and out of games. Like, we kind of forget that he still is a young player. This is the first time he's made it to the finals. It's the first time he's made a serious playoff run. Let's be honest, man. You know, New Orleans sweeping the Pelicans, stuff like that. That doesn't really count, right? This is the first time. And for some of these younger guys, they will float in and out. He got off to a slow start, couldn't establish any rhythm. his coach didn't back him up for the third foul. I don't even think Frank used this challenge the whole game. I don't know what you're wasting that for. This man looks like Tintin, by the way. But anyway, yeah, Anthony Davis, like, he just couldn't get a rhythm. And again, you cannot, on this Lakers team, afford for Anthony Davis to disappear. He needs to be a superstar night in and night out. Now, he has done that throughout the course of the playoffs to the point where he's even in the MVP finals conversation. After a game like this, this man might have to hit, like, another game winner to even get back into that conversation, because today he was so invisible. He let the Lakers down. He absolutely let the Lakers down. When you get outplayed by Kelly Olynyk, you are completely letting your team down. By the end of the fourth quarter, I'm telling you, this man was like Patrick Patterson, man. Literally, no one was looking at him. No one was trying to pass to him, nothing. He was trying to assert himself. He was just a passenger moving back and forth. And for a guy as great as Anthony Davis, that's not enough. And I'm sure you'll hear in the post-game press conference Anthony Davis saying something along the lines of, I let my team down tonight. I got to play better. Right, we saw that at a BAM in that Celtics series when he got outplayed by Daniel Theis, which is the equivalent of getting outplayed by Kelly Olynyk. Right, you will probably hear Anthony Davis say he'll play better and he'll be more assertive. I'm sure the Lakers will get him better opportunities, not just force feed him post ups, involve him in the offense. But yeah, I mean, and the fact that AD was so ineffective, that allowed for two things. One, the Miami Heat were able to stop playing zone. They didn't really play a lot of zone in this game. They were able to play more man-to-man, more straight up, you know, and that. And then also, because AD was not hurting them offensively, that allowed Kelly Olynyk to be on the floor a lot more without getting punished. And AD, and then when Olynyk's out there, now he's stretching the floor. Now Anthony Davis is stuck. All of a sudden, he's stuck on the perimeter, so no one's challenging. So when Jimmy Butler drives in, open lanes. Open lanes, or he's stuck on Jay Crowder or whoever, right? And all of a sudden, the Lakers' size advantage is completely neutralized now. And that's the thing with AD, is that he's so important. He needs to dictate the style of the game. When he's doing what he did in Game 2, when he did in Game 1, going to the rim changes absolutely everything. Miami's on their heels. They're in foul trouble. They can't handle their second-chance opportunities. But in a game like this, AD was completely invisible. Very, very disappointing performance from a guy who I know can impact the game as a superstar level. I'm sure he will bounce back, but this is completely an opportunity wasted. And again, this man had 5 turnovers. It was a minus 26. Only 5 rebounds. Such a disappointing performance for Anthony Davis. And the thing with the Lakers is just they don't really have the roster composition to make up for AD not being at his best. LeBron had 8 turnovers, all right? So that's bad. He missed some free throws. You know, he was short on the threes. Again, he looked real tired. But LeBron was still giving contributions, right? This was an acceptable game from LeBron. It wasn't a great game by any means. But for LeBron, he was still contributing. The thing is, when AD's not there to join him, when it's just LeBron, then yeah, you can beat this Lakers team. Because look at it. They even got above average performances from Markieff Morris. First off, Markieff Morris outplaying Anthony Davis, unbelievable. But Markieff Morris giving you 5 threes, even though I think he just looks largely washed in many of these games. But today he was obviously not. He was contributing. He was aggressive. And the Lakers were making more of an effort to find Markieff Morris than Anthony Davis. Kyle Kuzma gives you 19 points as well off the bench. 6-13 shooting for Kuzma. Kuzma takes a lot off the table in terms of he makes questionable decisions. But he was aggressive tonight. But that's it. That's it. Like, who else on this team? Look at the Lakers starters. Dwight Howard. Okay, I can't even get on Dwight Howard too much because he's a kind of a de facto starter. He'll play in the first and third quarter with the starting five, but then just disappear. If that's the case, then why are you starting him? There needs to be more of an emphasis on getting Dwight involved or getting him the offensive glass or something. But he didn't really play with that much energy, so I can't blame him. But he only gives you 4 points. KCP plays 29 minutes, gets abused on defense, 4 personal fouls, 5 points, minus 26. And then Danny Green, everybody's favorite podcaster, gives you a podcaster-esque 2 points on 0 of 6 shooting, 0 of 4 from 3. Got 2 free throws on a generous mid-range foul call. Like, you know, like, that's the thing. The Lakers are real, real, real top-heavy, man. They're real top-heavy. You know, put on the fact that Rondo wasn't that effective. Now, Rondo's obviously, his effectiveness is going to be dictated based on how much guys can score because he's a distributor. If you ask Rondo to make more shots, he's not really going to do that for you. You need guys to score. You need guys to leave Rondo. You need them to be open for threes. He can't be taking these pull-up threes. You know he's going to break those. But yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. The Lakers just don't have that kind of top-heavy. Like, they don't have guys that you can consistently count on. And that's why you need AD to be consistent. But meanwhile, you look at what the Heat were doing. Jimmy Butler carrying the team, right? absolutely carrying the team. The Heat led from pretty much start to finish. There's a short stretch there where the Lakers got up, but I was like, man, I would feel so bad for the Heat if they lost this game because the Lakers have played like trash. And the Heat had the composure to come back, even though they, you know, briefly lost the lead in the fourth. They were able to reassert themselves and score. Again, Butler was a big proponent of that, but you got guys like Duncan Robinson giving you a late three there. Again, because the Lakers weren't that physical and they weren't using their size, Duncan Robinson's defense wasn't as much of a factor. LeBron tried to pick on Duncan a couple of times, but the Heat actually did a good job of making Robinson come out to the perimeter, tried to hedge, and that's the right idea. The thing is LeBron, and he's going to turn the corner and he's going to score, so whatever. But Duncan gave them a three. Tyler Hero gave him a couple of late scores. He gave another one of those reverse layups that he's really good at where he drives in from the right side, shows the ball on the right, and then flips it around to the left hand for the reverse layup. Really, really pretty move when he does that. And then even off the bench, man, Kelly Olynyk gave him a lot. And really, what the Heat were able to do was they were able to shift their strategy to playing a lot more offensive players. Because I think the Lakers were so hesitant offensively with some of their bigs, they weren't able to capitalize, right? The Heat were able to actually then put on some of the more offensive players. And again, they were able to just run a lot of their stuff. I mean, it's kind of similar, except, you know, Olynyk is popping to the three instead. But, you know, you have the five-out kind of system. I mean, it's not even five-out because Butler's really not really one of the five that he's going to be out there. He didn't shoot a single three. But when there's perfect spacing around Butler and Butler's in the mood, he's going to drive and he's going to score. He's going to get to the free throw line, like. You know, he just played an amazing game, man. They played an amazing game. They showed great composure. You know, they got enough off the bench just with Olynyk because guys like Solomon Hill or Derrick Jones Jr. Or Andre Iguodala, Kendrick Nunn, those guys aren't really contributing today. But Olynyk gave them a good game. Hero gave them a good game in the end. Crowder gave them an underrated, really good game based on his defense on Anthony Davis just being mad physical. Anthony Davis, again, could play a lot better, but... You know, he just didn't, so you got to give Crowder a lot of credit. And again, Butler was sensational. And so, and you know what? I wonder, man. Listen, you cannot give away games. And all due respect to the Heat, but the Lakers gave away this game. And you cannot give away games in the NBA Finals. You can't give away games in any playoff series, man. You just can't. And for the Lakers to play the way they did, I mean, listen... You know, Bam, maybe he comes back. Who knows? He's missed two games now. Dragic, I highly doubt it. He's literally, there was, you know, I mean, he tore a tendon. I can't imagine he plays. But if Bam comes back in, you know, like, I don't know what they're going to do. But, like, you know, the Heat, they kept the door open. I mean, I remember, you know, Fred's quote when OG hit the three in game three. When Fred was walking to the locker room and he's saying, they effed up. Now, listen, the Celtics ended up winning that game in seven. But the Celtics also should not have gotten that series to seven when they were up 2-0 and were up, you know, 2 points with 0.5 seconds left in game three. They effed up. And honestly, I don't think the Lakers are going to eff up because I think, LeBron and AD are just a little bit too good for that. But at the same time, man, I don't know what's going through AD's head, but that was a shameful performance from him. And LeBron is at the age where he, I don't know, he can do it. I mean, listen, all LeBron tells you is that he's in age, or he's in year 17. That's all LeBron tells you, right? I'm in year 17. And what that means is, yeah, sometimes this man's going to have to be run out of gas. Because if AD plays the way like he did, LeBron's going to have to step up, try to carry and drag the Lakers in. And, yo, he's battling some young guys, man. I mean, Butler's no slouch as a defender. I mean, you expect LeBron to consistently kill Jimmy Butler? That's tough, man. That's something only Kawhi can really do, to be honest. And, you know, like, look, listen, like, LeBron's... I don't know if he has that type of energy. I mean, he probably would, you know, if you know, other guys can come with him. But he's not going to single-handedly win this. And we saw in the fourth quarter the limitation. LeBron was tired, man. He couldn't hit the jumpers. All of them short iron, missing some free throws, you know, not getting to the rim as much, looking to pass more off the drive than looking to shoot. Like, you know? So, look, the Lakers are going to need AD to step up. Now, I believe AD will step up because he's already done it in the first, you know, two games of this series and, of course, the rest of the playoffs so far. But at the same time, you know, you never know with some of these guys because there's just the Lakers are just carrying so many negative players on their team. Like, yo, J.R. Smith is really going to play 5 minutes? Like, not even as a joke? Like, J.R. Smith is really going to come in and play 5 minutes. Okay. All right. And then they're like, okay, we have all these centers. Well, we're going to abandon those centers immediately because we don't believe in them, right? They've shown it many times. They abandoned their centers against the Rockets. They abandoned them against the Portland Trail Blazers. Now they're abandoning them again against the Heat. Only really had Dwight play against Jokic and the Nuggets. You know, they're very quick to pull the centers. And if they're willing to downsize and if AD's not punishing them, then it's a very, very different series. And I feel, honestly, like, everyone's rooting for the Heat, right? Like, we're all rooting for the Heat, right? Because, like, listen, like, everyone loves the underdog. You know, they fought so hard. They're already a really great story to this point. But if they, listen, if they could take another game off the Lakers, it is game on. It is absolutely game on. But, yeah, I realistically, I do expect the Lakers to come back with a stronger effort. But listen, man, he did a lot of good stuff. And again, it's really just come down to AD. If he's going to play physical, if he's going to be aggressive, if he's going to assert himself, if he's going to, you know, run early for post position, seal his man, actually put Jay Crowder on his back, get the ball, score, crashing for offensive rebounds, block shots, all this other stuff that you know AD can do, then yeah, the Heat kind of have no answers. But if he doesn't and he plays soft like he did today, well, you know, This stuff can happen because, again, it allows Miami to go small. It allows the floor to be space. It allows Jimmy Butler to be in the game. And it allows some of these shooters to be in the game, Kelly Olynyk and the likes. And, yeah, again, you just can't expect LeBron to give you, like, 50, 10, and 10. Like, you know, like this. Again, he keeps telling you, man, year 17. Listen, he looked like year 17 tonight with those two travels in the fourth quarter and the fact that this man had to go to the showers early because Jimmy Butler sent him home. So, it's interesting. And listen, as neutral fans, this is the best game of this final so far. I mean, it just adds so much more intrigue because no one wants to see the Lakers up double digits for the entire second half in two straight games. Like, that looks really bad. And so I think it's more entertaining this way. In terms of your three stars, obviously the first star is Jimmy Butler. 40 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 45 minutes, 14 of 20 from the field, 12 of 14, a plus 20. Do you realize what that means? So the Heat only won by 11 points, and he was a plus 20, which means that in the 3 minutes that Jimmy Butler sat, only 3 minutes, the Lakers outscored them by 9 points, okay? So Jimmy Butler had to play 45 minutes, and he was exhausted, but he guarded LeBron. He did all this sensational performance from Jimmy Butler, man. This is, again, big face coffee, you know, well worth $20. Whatever Jimmy Butler's drinking, I want to drink too. In terms of your second star, I'm going to give that to... Honestly, I'm going to give that to Kelly Olynyk, man. This guy played a good game. Not even just Jordan Henderson, man. I think he honestly played a really good game. 17 points, 7 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, 5 of 9 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Consistently as a pick and roll partner for Jimmy Butler, he was able to get open. He was able to capitalize. And again, this man played better than Anthony Davis. He outplayed Anthony Davis on the NBA Finals stage. You know, that's if that's not a Canadian heritage moment, I don't know what is. But honestly, Kelly's a very skilled offensive player. He knows what he's doing. The dribble handoff stuff, he can kind of imitate a lot of that Bam does. Because honestly, Olynyk was doing that before Bam even was. I mean, Olynyk was doing that with the Celtics back in the day. He's a very versatile player. He's crafty. He knows how to flop to draw charges. And I don't mean that in a slanderous way. Like, that's an actual valuable skill. He put the third foul on AD early on, took him out of the game. And yeah, you know, he played great, so he's going to get the second star from me. And then the third star, I might have to give that to Markieff Morris, man, because honestly, I didn't think Markieff would score 19 points in the series, let alone 19 in this game. The threes that he was hitting, I mean, he was giving the Lakers more hope down the stretch than any other Laker in terms of him hitting threes. So, yeah, you got to hand it to him, man. I mean, again, I didn't think he had this in him still, but good game from Markieff. So those are your three stars. Jimmy Butler, Kelly Olynyk, and Markieff Morris. Wow, what a weird game. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that might have to go to Jay Crowder for his defense. 12 points, 8 rebounds, and assist, plus 21. Guarded the hell out of Anthony Davis, was so physical. Again, he's giving up so much size. And I don't think I've ever given a Gerald Henderson Award for defense, but he deserves it, man. I mean, you wouldn't expect him to actually win that matchup, and he did. So, giving a lot of credit to Jay Crowder in this one. And then in your Patrick Patterson Award winner, that's got to go to Anthony Davis. And I really, really mean that. I mean, Anthony Davis was shocking tonight. It was unbelievable how invisible he was. And, you know, it's, I mean, I expect him to play better, but, you know, for now, he's the Pat of this series, of this game, man. I mean, you know, it's inexplicable. But again, the story should be Jimmy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, Jimmy Butler was sensational, man. 40-11-13. That's an all-time great line in the finals. And especially considering the circumstances, no Bam, no Dragic for him to put the team on his back. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. And Jimmy Butler, man. So, yeah, I'm interested. I'm really interested in this playoffs now. I'm really, really interested because the finals are going a really bad way. I would have really hated it for Lakers to go on and sweep. I know I was making a lot of jokes about how, oh, the Heat got to play with pride. I mean, this is how you play with pride. This is how every single Raptor fan was wishing for. You know what I mean? Every single Raptor fan against LeBron in those sweeps was like, all right, just for one of those games, please, Kyle, DeMar, just do something like Jimmy did. They never did. Let's be honest. They never did. So, yeah, they played for pride. Like, damn, you know? So, obviously, it's still a huge, huge mountain for the Heat to climb, especially in their injured state. But this got to give them so much hope and confidence. And honestly, they just deserve it. They've played a great playoff so far. They don't deserve to lose just basically on injuries. And it's amazing what Jimmy Butler did tonight. So, thanks, everyone, for listening. I'll be back next week with another episode of the Raptors Over Everything podcast. That's more Raptors focused. I'll be doing more of these reaction podcasts. And yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Rate, review, and subscribe to the show, please. It still really is important to do that because my ego depends on it. So do that. But seriously, thanks everyone for listening. And yeah, really looking forward to game four.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.